Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reach people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I take time and answer the many, many questions that get mailed in and emailed in and sent in to us. So we're trying to pick the ones that we think are the best ones, you know, that are pertinent for what's going on today in our society. So we've got a good list. So Angel, let's just jump in.
All right. Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
I may be married to a narcissist. It seems like my husband is constantly thinking about himself. Our children and my emotions and thoughts always fall by the wayside. How do I break through to help him see the world doesn't revolve around him?
Well, number one would be prayer. Lord, take blindness from his mind, lighten the eyes of his understanding, send laborers across his path. Those are three great ones I start with right there because they're blinded. If I act stupid, it's because I don't know any better. If I'm rude or mean, I don't know any better because nobody wants to be hated. People are trying to be liked. So they do what they do, trying to get affirmation or acceptance. So if they're doing that, they don't know any better. So narcissist is not what you want to be or be married to. It's not good, but there is power more than a narcissist. God is stronger than a narcissist. So I just take it, Lord, help my spouse. Take blindness from his mind. You can use Google the scriptures about being blinded in scripture. Take blindness from his mind and lighten the eyes of his understanding. Send laborers across his path at work or Walmart, wherever he's at, to strike iron and cause him to think about what he's doing. Help him be a more loving, kind spouse. And God will do that. God will do what you ask him.
And really, it's indicative of this generation that we have raised a whole generation of people that are just so we have catered to our children and
I'm special
and given them everything. So that just continues a very selfish pattern. Yeah. So it's kind of like you're going to have to retrain some bad thinking.
Somebody needs to tell him, son, you have not married your mother. You didn't marry your mother. There's a national best-selling book called that. I think you didn't I didn't marry my mother.
Yeah, so. But it's a challenge. Yeah. And the thing is, and somebody said this one time, there's givers and there's takers and there's no in between. And I kind of tend to agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
So I just think spiritually, that's what they're going to need of a Damascus Road encounter.
Whoa.
That's what I would just pray that God would just knock him off of the donkey. And
God will do it.
Yeah.
God loves you no more than loves his own son. There's nothing God will not do for you. So you've got power in your prayer. I don't care who you're married to, what you think, because the devil, he'll lie to you. Well, there's no way out. They're not going to change. I mean, it's not. No. No, there's a loving God who wants your spouse to do what's right.
And sometimes the filter that they're filtering everything is it's all about me. You know, I didn't have children until I was 30. And I talked to somebody after I'd had a child, and they had several children when they were young. And they said to me, I'll never forget this phone call. He was calling my husband actually. And I answered and he said, how are you doing? How's the adjustment going to having a baby? Cause I'd been married for 10 years. So it was quite an adjustment. And I was never a babysitter or anything. So it was just like, whoa. And I said, the biggest change without a doubt is that I used to walk into a store and all I had to think about was me. And now I'm the last thing I think about.
Yeah.
And that's the most wonderful thing in the world. I never would have thought if you'd have asked me, do you think you're selfish? I'd have said, no. But I was. And I would give stuff to people and everything, but you know, my heart didn't understand what it was like to really defer to someone else. But the second that
for others,
and the second that little boy was placed in my arms,
everything changes.
And it was the best change ever. So
my first wife and I, we married 5 years before we had a first baby. Life was good. We went where we want, ate what we want, went on vacation we wanted. When that baby dropped, I went to the bottom of the food chain. I was the last thing on my wife's mind. I thought, holy biscuit, I thought I was special. Not anymore, you know. And so it's just the way God's got it set up. It's a real good system. God will grow you up whether you want to or not. And you grow up by giving your life away. It's real simple. Jesus said, we'd be great in my kingdom. become a servant to everybody else. That's how you become great in God's eyes. Serve everybody
but
else.
They really do need to grow up and because really marriage is about serving one another.
It is.
It's not about being served.
I tell people marriage is a funeral. Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. It should say, I'm so sorry I heard you got married. Because if you don't die at that ceremony, you're a half dead zombie.
Woo! It's true.
You're
it
a
is,
mess.
It is true. And really being the head of the house, you know, when I was growing up, everybody thought it was the man's in charge. And that really isn't what it's talking about.
He's the head servant in the home. Not the head. You're not the head dog. You ain't the lead dog. Woo, woo. Get behind the pack, son.
So I would just really, like Joe said, pray that the Holy Spirit would intervene.
And he will. He wants it more than you do. God wants him to change more than you do. So you're not working against God. You're working with him.
Yeah. Sometimes too, people push your buttons and you know, I heard a story one time where this guy who had a real hot temper and his wife would just react to it every time, the same cycle. And then one day he came in and he just kind of bit her head off and she's just like, you know what? I choose love. And it made him madder. Yeah. And she said, you know what? I choose love. And it made him even madder, and because he couldn't get the reaction out of her.
You can't slap the hockey puck. You can't find the hockey puck. Where'd the hockey puck go?
And then that, over time, didn't happen overnight, but it did change him.
Yes.
And so, you know, whatever you've been doing is not working. Nope. So I would change. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, too.
Yes.
On what's the best way
to
handle it.
And he wants to.
Yeah.
Whether you think about it and you go to sleep, whether it's a dream or somebody calling you on the phone, just sharing something you didn't even know what they were sharing. Got to get the information to you, what you need to do.
Right. All right, Joe, our children are very different. One daughter is outgoing and the other is quiet. The one that is outgoing seems to always be invited to do things with friends while the other says she prefers to be alone. I don't want to pressure my quiet daughter to change, but I also don't want her to miss out on great people and relationships that can be had by opening up more. Do you have any suggestions for me?
Yeah, just they are what they are. No two children are the same. They come out different. They have a different thumbprint, a different voice print. God is a creative God. And I've shared it so many times. We had our first daughter and 18 months later, we had a second daughter. But the first one, she was almost like an adult. She spoke an adult language. We didn't talk baby talk to her. Ooh, good, good. We didn't do that. We talked like adults, and she talked like an adult. You know, please pass the cereal. You know, and she's three. Like, okay. And so, well, then our second daughter came along. I thought the hospital made a mistake. There's no way this is our kid. They're left-handed, blonde hair, blue eyes. No, this is not my kid. We had DNA. We always did that. You know, the hospital did. No, it's our kid. Well, how did this happen? Well, God's a creative God. So my first daughter's a college professor. My second daughter's a great athlete. Both their gifts made room for them, made them famous, and got them careers. But they were not the same gift. And our third daughter came along. She was totally different than the first two. So they're not the same. So don't force anything. Now, I wanted all my kids. How do I say this right, Angel? We wanted all of our kids involved in school. I want you to play sports, music, drama, basketball, soccer. I want you to come home busy, tired, and wanting to go to sleep. And so we did. So parents would judge us, you know, well, you made a god out of sports. No, my kid's going to be with me about 18 years, maybe 22. I want them busy, tired, and happy. So when we got home, I said, Dad, can I take him back and go to bed? Please, darling, please go to bed. And I don't want you sitting in your room all day with nothing to do and your brain's running, you're thinking stupid thoughts. I don't want to keep you busy. But they're not busy doing the same thing. My athletic daughter played sports all the time, went to summer camps, played AAU ball. First daughter couldn't even go one in the court, the other keep basketball with her. And so she was smart, made straight A's.
I did not have that same approach because I was not going to go to every sports.
I sat through
one season of T-ball, sweating like a dog. Woo. It felt like 110 degrees out there.
For
a game that went on for 3 hours and nobody scored a thing. And I was like, you can forget this. So I finally said to my son, okay, let's make a choice here. We're going to choose sports or music. And thank the Lord he chose music.
Well, he's gifted too.
Yes, so. He was gifted. But it, I mean, it was like that was a gift to all of us. So, but then, you know, school was very easy for him. He touches an instrument, he can play it. My daughter struggled through school, hated it. Now, the funny thing is now she's an adult. She's got her master's, which I said to her, why did you torture me for 12 solid years?
Some gifts blossom late.
That one blossomed very late. But and there, you know, my daughter would greet you at the door every afternoon after work doing a Disney musical. And my son would, you know, if he never opened his bedroom door and just played video games, he'd be perfectly happy.
Nail out of an oak board. Like, how you doing, son?
So they're very different, but and they're great. They've turned into great adults, but they're just not the same. And you can't have the same expectations, because where my daughter would struggle, I can still remember her putting her little head in her hands and going, I'm trying so hard when it came to school. And I knew she was. And my son would never even bring home a book. So it was just very, very hard. But I couldn't compare the two, because they were absolutely nothing alike. But I can remember even saying to my son, in some ways, she's learning better life skills because nothing comes easy. She has to work for everything that she gets. And everything comes so easy to you, I'm concerned, you know, that you've never had to work for anything.
Well, the amazing thing about all that is they're very close as adults today. They're best friends, but they're total opposites. Total opposites in their gifts and what they like to do. But they are best friends.
It'll all work out, but everybody's just different. Sometimes those quiet ones are the wise ones.
Slow to speak, quick to hear.
Yeah. Okay. So, Joe, my husband keeps going to his mom to talk about our problems in our marriage. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. I don't think this is right because she only hears one side. Do you have experience with this or any tips for me to be able to communicate with him that it's not fair to me?
Sure. I just give him my own testimony. When I first got married, we got a rent house 100 yards from my mom and dad's rent house. So I'm working shifts. My wife's working shifts. So I'd come home. I'd walk across the field behind my house to mom's and I'd eat dinner with her. And so all of a sudden the phone would ring an hour and a half later. It's your wife. I said, hello. She said, where are you at? What are you thinking about? You calling at my mom's. What are you doing? I'm eating dinner. Did you think about me? No, you were gone. You're at work. What about me getting some food? Come on over. There's some leftovers. That did not go well. And so I realized the best thing that happened to my marriage, 3 years into our marriage, I got a job 3 states away. And we moved 3 states away. Great job. And it was tough. Now we had to learn a lot of new things. Great job. We had no family. There's no mom and dad, no in-laws, nobody we can borrow a gallon of milk from or can of gas or a lawnmower, weed eater. We were on our own. And the greatest thing that happened to us in our marriage was moving 3 states away. We'd see our parents twice a year for the next 30 years. And that was it. I had to grow up. And I tell people that's the greatest thing that happened to me. I had to grow up.
And it was just the opposite for me. My former husband would do the same thing with his dad, and he made us the enemies.
Yep.
I mean, we became terrible enemies, and it really hurt him more than it hurt me, because in the end he's trying to bring peace. And it's just like, no, I don't want to go see him. No. And I mean, it took years to overcome that, but yeah. And Joe and I, my first husband and I, we moved to Washington State from Florida. So
Lord have mercy.
So we got as far away as we could. And honestly, that's probably the only reason we made it that first year, but everybody doesn't always have that option, but he needs to cut those cords, because that's just not healthy to do that with mom.
Well, the thing
or is, anybody, friends or anything, you just need to be very careful. Like, for example, one time I was at dinner with this woman and her friend came who had never been married, and the whole meal she was ripping this woman's husband. And I said to her, if you don't get rid of that friend, your marriage is doomed.
Yep.
Because she's sowing seeds of discord between you and your husband.
Yep.
And she did eventually divorce her husband. And that's wrong. And you're going to have to answer for those kinds of things.
Well, men are ignorant. They think this woman likes me. Well, shoot, yeah. She doesn't live with you. She doesn't have to wash your dirty underwear or listen to you pass gas in the morning or come down the hallway scratching your backside on the way to the bathroom. They only see you in public when you're dressed up and you're acting nice. They don't see you 24 hours a day. Marriage is a different world. It's a God-created world, but it's different. So that public stuff, that's a lie of the devil. That woman, that man, they don't love you. They just see it's your best. I've never seen you at your worst.
Maybe you should just have them listen to this podcast.
Whoa.
Guys, listen, there's a lot of challenges in raising a family or having a marriage that works. Today, the enemy is on the prowl. He is after the family.
He's family's after our not children. For wimps. It's not a wimpy thing.
It's not. But I want you to know that we do have a lot of resources.
Yes.
And if you need something on parenting, on finances, on money.
Marriage.
Marriage, men, anything like that, just check out our website at JoeMcGeeMinistries.com.
It's loaded. All of them are loaded with scripture. It's the word of God that's going to set you free and keep you free. It's what God said, not what your daddy said, not what your mama said, not what your cousin, your brother, your neighbor said. It's what God said. So if you feed on the word day and night, 3 John 2, Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1:2-3, you'll prosper and have good success. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to prosper and not go broke. I'm trying to succeed and not fail. How are you going to do that?
Yep.
You know, open your Bible once a day. Just read a few verses. Just read a proverb a day. It'll make you holier than most people on this planet. So just get in the word of God and it'll change you.
It will indeed. You guys have a great week and we'll be talking to you next Monday.
God bless, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit JoeMcGee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.